The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. In Parashas Kisovei, that's in Dvorim Chov Vov, Pasuk Hey, the mitzvah of Havos Bikurim, when one is obligated to bring the Bikurim, the first fruits, he brings the first fruits to the Kohen, and the mitzvah is he must read the following. He should answer and say before the Lord your God, you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, Arami Eved Ovi. Arami refers to Lovan. Lovan tried to destroy my father Yaakov. Vayered Mitzrayimo, Vayogo Shom Limseimo Ot. Eventually he went down to Egypt and he dwelt there with a small number of people. And there he became a great nation, mighty and many. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we say this pasuk. And the Sifri Darshans, and it's brought in the Haggadah, what does it mean by he shom legoy? And there we were a nation. This is to teach us that Klal Yisrael were the Mitzuyonim, distinguished there. What does this mean? The Meforshim, the commentaries explain, amongst them the Maral, Ki lo hayu betelim Yisrael etzel ha-mitzrim. Liyois nikroim b'shem Mitzrayim. Ele mitzuyonim u'misumonim. But for the entire period of time that Israel dwelled in Egypt, they never became Egyptians. But they always retained their national identity to be known as a goy, as a separate nation. Kitziun miloshen simon. The word mitzuyonim from the word siyun, it means to be distinguished. It comes from the word sign, a signpost. Ki kol reim hoyu makirin Yisrael b'shem ifnei atzmon. Whenever they would see the Yisraelim there, they would refer to them as Hebrews, as Yisraelim. Acho emrim aleihem elu am Yisrael. These are from the nation of Israel. Even though they were in Egypt for a total of 210 years. And if the Hebrews assimilated there to the point where they lost their national identity and they became known as Egyptians, then they would have not have merited redemption. Because then they would have been Egyptians. The rak mitnei shohayu Yisrael misumonim bein ha-mitzrim bo ha-am bifnei atzmon. And only because they were distinguished and they were always a nation by themselves, ruim hoye la-heitzi ha-son mitechom me-acha shali nishab ruim ha-mitzrim. Therefore, they merited redemption since they never united together with Egypt. In Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet Posik Yud Beis, King Solomon writes, Gan No'ul Achesi Kalo, my sister, my bride, she is a closed garden. Gal No'ul, she is a closed spring. Mayun Chosu, she is a sealed spring. This posik was referring to Klal Yisrael when they were in Egypt. Medrash brings on this pasuk Medrash in Shir HaShirim Perek Daled Eishchof Daled Rafuna Rafuna Omar Bishus Dalet Vorim Nigolu Yisrael Mimisraim. The Bishus of four merits. Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. Shaleshinu Eshmon. They never changed their names. Leshinu Eslishenon. They never changed their language. Le Omru Loshen Hora. They did not say Loshen Hora. And we never found one of them to transgress the laws of moral behavior, promiscuity. What does it mean they never changed their names? Reuven v'Shimon Nachtin, Reuven v'Shimon Salkin. Reuven, they went down being called Reuven and Shimon. And we find that when they left Egypt, they were still called Reuven and Shimon. V'lohoyu keirin l'Reuven Rufus, u'l'Shimon l'hoyu keirin l'Luni, u'l'Yosef Listis, u'l'Binyamin Alexandra. They never interchanged their names into foreign names. L'Shinas l'Shonam, what does it mean that they did not change their language? During the time of Abraham, during the war of the four kings against the five kings, a messenger came and he told Abraham ho Ivri, and Abraham there is referred to as the Ivri because he spoke Hebrew. The Kan Ksiv, and when Moshe came to Klal Yisrael in Egypt, he told them Elekeo Ivri Nikro Alenu. The God of the Hebrews, the God of those who speak Hebrew, has called us. Uksiv, and it also states, Ki piya medaber aleichem. When the brothers came down and were reunited with Yosef, one of the ways Yosef proved to them that he was their brother, because he says, you see, I am speaking your language, the Loshon HaKodesh. Le'omru Loshon Hora. What does it mean that they did not speak Loshon Hora? Shnemar dabre no biozne ahom v'yishalu ish me'esreihu. When Moshe first came to meet Klal Yisrael, which was 12 months before the Geula, he told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that they will go out with rechus gadol, they will go out with great wealth. And therefore, when the time comes, everyone must ask his Egyptian neighbor and friend to give him from their wealth, so they may go out with great wealth. So this secret, that when they were going to leave Egypt, they were going not only to leave, but to empty out the entire country, to take all of the wealth, the gold and the silver, and the clothing with them. This secret they knew for 12 months. And the secret, even though the entire nation knew it for 12 months, it never reached the Egyptian ears. That one, Hebrew. went and revealed this secret to the Egyptians. To keep a secret which is known to an entire nation for 12 months is an achievement. And what does it mean that we do not find any of them where there was promiscuity? Shneamar vayetze ben isha yisraelis vayikrev beno isha yisraelis. After they left Egypt, in the desert, a man came out and he cursed. And it says that this man was the son of an Egyptian man and of a Jewish woman. Upirsuma akosuf, and the Torah publicizes this. Lohidiyashvach shivchon shel Yisrael shel nimtzo behem elazu. This was the only singular case where there was any promiscuity between Israel and Egypt. Even this, the sages tell us, was through an error. This was Shlemus Bas Divri, and she thought that it was her husband, and really it was an Egyptian. But the Torah publicizes this case to tell us that this was the only case of any promiscuity that existed between Israel and Mitzrayim. Omer Baba Barbu, Sore Yodel Mitzrayim Vegodra Atzme Mine Erva Vechola Noshim Nigderu Bishuso. And Sore went down to Egypt, and she was taken, abducted by Pare. She guarded herself, and she guarded her purity. And this was a schus for all of the women, the Jewish women that followed her. Yosef Yorad Limitzrayim Vegodra Atzme Mine Erva. And Yosef went down to Egypt, and he was tempted by his master's wife, and he guarded himself. This was the schus for all of the men who followed. If we study what's mentioned here, we see that the Lashon Hora that we are referring to is not general Lashon Hora, but in particular revealing a secret that belonged to Israel to Egypt. As it states that this was Mufkid, this was entrusted to Klal Yisrael for 12 months. And that one person revealed this to the enemy against his nation. So this is the particular Lashon Hora that the Medrash is referring to. When it comes to the Porus Ba'arayis, that we do not find promiscuity, even though they guarded themselves from all promiscuity, but again a particular promiscuity is being referred to here, and that was that they did not physically assimilate themselves. They did not have physical relationships with Egyptians, as the Medrash illustrates. The Amaral in the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, Perek Mem Gimel, explains that why these four acts gave Yisrael merit for redemption. And this is in line what we brought before, because it was necessary for Klal Yisrael to be mitzuyonim, to be a goy, a nation, mitzuyonim, to retain their own identity. As long as they retain their own identity, and they did not become Egyptians, so it was possible to redeem them. There was what to redeem. Had they merged their identity with Egypt, had they lost their own identity, then there would have been no nation, there would have been no people to redeem. Because they would have been totally assimilated, totally mixed, and united themselves with Egypt. The Hetzor, the redemption, the Chazal tell us, the Torah states, was a goy tachas goy, a nation from another nation. So there had to be an entity, there had to be an individuality to Klal Yisrael. If there was none, then they would have become bottle. They would have become insignificant to Egypt, and they would have been lost. And there could not have been a geula, a redemption. And even though there's no doubt that there was a great deal of Egyptian influence upon them, and a great deal of Egyptian influence was absorbed by them, because they lived there for 210 years. That's many, many generations. And they were enslaved, and they were afflicted. They were gerim, aliens, vavodum, enslaved, ve'inu osam, and afflicted. And they were under the thumb and under the boot of the Egyptians, and they were persecuted. So there's no doubt that tremendous Egyptian influence seeped into the ranks of Israel. And there's no doubt that Israel fell and sank. Madrega acha madrega, level after level, like our sages tell us. But since they safeguarded their basis, their foundations of their identity, so it was possible there could be a geula, a redemption. Had that also disappeared, then there could not have been a geula. An example, if a person falls sick, since he still has a basic healthy nature, still has basic strength in his body, so the body will cure the disease. But if the sickness goes to such a level where it infects and deteriorates the very foundation of the person, where his very nature is broken, then it's impossible to cure him. There'll be no basic nature that can cure the disease. Therefore, Israel guarded their identity at these four points. If they would have changed their names to the names of the Egyptians, this would have been one great inroad into assimilation. If they would have changed their speech to the tongue of the Egyptians, this would have been another level of assimilation, a mixture of loss of identity. If they would have shared their national secrets with that of the Egyptians, this would have been an assimilation at an even greater level. Because the secrets of a person, that's already something which is held and concealed within the person.
A Giloi Sod. He's revealing his innermost thoughts. Had he shared that with the Egyptians, this would have been a combining themselves to even a greater level with Egypt. And if there would have been acts of promiscuity with Egypt, this is at even a greater level. Because physically they would have joined themselves with another nation. And then it would have been impossible to redeem them. Now there's a particular reason why these four acts. Man is created from two parts. The Torah tells us that when the Almighty created man, by Yitzhar Adam, Ofer Min Adam, his physical body was created dust from the earth, by Yipach Be'apov Nishmas Chaim. And a living soul from up high was blown into his nostrils. So man is created from the earth. This is the physical body. And he was given a nefesh, a spirit, which went into his body, which came from up high. From the fact that we see that they guarded themselves physically from joining themselves with the Egyptians, this was a sign that they maintained a physical individuality, that they guarded against any interrelations, any promiscuity with Egypt. This is at the level of the physical body. So this is a sign that they endeavored to maintain a physical individuality. From the fact that they did not reveal secrets that belonged to Israel with another nation, and they did not express these secrets, speak of these secrets, this is a sign that they retained an individuality of the nefesh, of the spirit. Because secrets are not physical. Secrets are in the nefesh, are in the spirit of the person. And speech is not physical. Speech comes from the spirit of the person. So those are two parts of the person. Now, a person is made of two parts, of the physical and the spiritual, but he's not a dichotomy. He's one unit. Kodesh Baruch Hu made him of two elements. But from the two elements, he made them into one. And this was called Adam. Gave him a name, Adam. The merging of the physical and the spiritual created man. Now man, in his entirety, has his own individuality. And that the sages refer to as his etzem. His individual name refers to this individuality. Everyone is different than his chaver. Has a different identity. How do we identify people? We identify people with their own individual names. Hashem Meir Al Etzem. The name signifies the distinction of this individual. they maintained that distinction by not merging their names, but by retaining the Shem Yisrael and not exchanging it for the Shem Mitzri. Now, every individual, he has an individual name, but he also has a national name. For example, if you're coming through passport control, they have you fill out what is your name and what is the name of your nation, your nationality. A person has his own individual name, and then he has the name of his nationality. What relates to the nation is his language. His name is different than his fellow man's name. But his language is the same as his fellow man's language. But the language of his nation, the Loshon, is different than another nation. Language that belongs to a nation, that's common to a nation. A name, that's common to an individual. Everyone has an individual identity, an individual personal identity, and everyone has an individual national identity. And the fact that we see that they did not merge their names, this shows that they guarded their personal identity. And the fact that we see that they did not merge their language, this shows that they guarded their national identity. So, these four were signs how they endeavored to safeguard their individual entity from all aspects. From the fact that they did not have physical relations with another nation, but stayed away from them, this was a sign that they were maintaining physical individuality of the physical counterpart of the body. From the fact that they did not share secrets of their own secrets with another nation, this shows that they were maintaining a spiritual separation from Egypt. From the fact that they guarded their own personal names, this shows that they maintained their personal identity, and from the fact that they guarded their own language from becoming merged with Egypt, this shows that they guarded their national identity. And because of this, they never assimilated. They never became lost in Egypt. Vayehi lasham goy. They were always a nation within a nation. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to redeem them. Now, even though in the Goliaths, in the exiles, which Klal Yisrael found themselves in after Egypt, we do not find that there was such an objection between there was such an objection for Jews to take on names of the nations of which they lived amongst. Not only that, but we even find many of the great Chachmei Yisrael, the sages themselves, had names that were not pure Loshon HaKodesh, pure Hebrew names. For example, a very common name was Alexander. Alexander was taken from the Greeks, named after Alexander the Great. Or Very common names were Yehuda Lev or Aryeh Lev. Lev comes from the German word lion. Yehuda was a lion. Or Dave Bear, Dave Barrow. Bear is the German word Barrow, which refers to a bear, which in Hebrew is Dove. And there are literally thousands and thousands of such occurrences. There's volumes and volumes of literature written about this, because on certain documents we have to know the origin of the proper name. And there are all of the sages and the Rabbonim go in to find out exactly what the proper name is and what language it came from. Women's names, common name was Pearl, Peril, and so forth. So we don't find that there was an objection to this. And also, when it comes to language, we don't find that there was a tremendous objection to Jews speaking the language of the lands that they were living in. After the Churban, when Klal Yisrael went into Babel, Babylonia was a common language amongst the Jews. Aramaic became a common language amongst the Jews. And even in Eretz Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael then, also, Aramaic was spoken. And there are certain tefillahs that were made in order that everyone should understand. So they weren't written in Loshon HaKodesh, they were written in Aramaic. And the Peskim and the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch tells us because the nation as a whole didn't understand Loshon HaKodesh. And in Babel there was a halacha, which we don't keep today, but it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that at the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, there would be a matarg, a turgman, a translator, who would call out what was read in the Sefer Torah, in Arami, in Aramaic, in order that the masses would be able to understand. The Rambam, who lived in the Arabic lands, wrote many sforim in Arabi, in Arabic. And we do not find in Shulchan Aruch, in the Shas of Shulchan Aruch, any azor, any prohibition. For Jews to take on different names or different languages. So why then does it say that the greatness of the generation in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, was that they guarded their names and they guarded their language? So the Maral explains. When Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, they were not a nation. They were the house of Yaakov. As it states, Yaakov Ishu Beisei Bo. Jacob came together with his household. V'lokachti li, v'lokachti lochem li li on, that I shall take you for a nation. This, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Dalet Lashoni Shel Geula, in the four expressions of redemption, when I take you out of Egypt, I shall take you out from beneath the Sivleis Mitzrayim, the yoke of Egypt. Umei Avodosom, it's out of, and I will take you from the servitude, the Ga'alti Eschem, and I will redeem you. Then it states, V'lokachtem lochem li le'om, I shall take you for myself as a nation. V'nieyesu le'om, Klal Yisrael became a nation as they went out of Egypt and they came to Sinai.
came to Sinai 6 weeks later, and the Reish Chodesh Sivan, and they were given the Torah. But in Egypt yet, they were not a nation, and they had not yet received the Torah. Klal Yisrael must preserve its individual identity. After the giving of the Torah, they have 613 mitzvahs that separates themselves from the other nations of the world, that preserves their individual identity. But being in Egypt, what then would safeguard them from a total assimilation, from a total disappearance in Egypt? They weren't given mitzvahs yet. They were not commanded on any more mitzvahs than the Egyptians were. All the sons of Noach were given 7 mitzvahs. There were perhaps 1 or 2 mitzvahs that were given to Abraham, the Bris Milah. But for the 210 years, they did not have the mitzvahs to practice. And still, they insisted on retaining the identity that they had from Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So this they did through guarding their individual names, through guarding their national language, and from not sharing anything of theirs with a foreign nation. So from here we learn the following foundations. Israel has a particular distinction, a particular individuality at all levels. And this must be safeguarded. This must be preserved in order that it does not blend into the other nations and does not become lost. And it's through this that Geula, redemption, comes to Israel. Because if Israel is still there, they can be redeemed. But if they disappear, then there's nothing to redeem. The distinctions of the house of Yaakov in Egypt was these Dalet Vori, these 4 aspects. They retained their names, Reuven and Shimon. They retained the Loshon HaKodesh, Pi HaMedaber. They did not share any inner secrets, any national secrets with Egypt. And physically, they did not combine themselves with Egypt. And this is the way they were known, became known as a goy, as a distinction there. When someone would see them, they would not say that's an Egyptian immediately. They would say that's a Hebrew. That's from the house of Yaakov. But after the giving of the Torah, where we are a nation because of 613 mitzvahs that distinguish us from the nations of the world, then this is what we must preserve. This is what we must guard in order that we should not assimilate, disappear, become bottle, or a toffle, become an insignificant part of the rest of the nations of the world. And this is what Bilam said in Parshas Bolok, in Bamidbar Chov Gimel, Pasuk Tes, when he looked at Klal Yisrael, the sons of Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. He said, Ki meireish surim erenu umigvaos ashurenu. I see them coming from the top of the rocks. That refers to Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I see them, they are here from the Gevaos, that refers to the matriarchs, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, and Leah. And on the Vodad Yishkeim, they are a nation which dwells in isolation. Uvagoyim leis kashov, and they shall not be counted amongst the other nations. Kodesh Baruch Hu created 70 nations. And Yisrael, there are not 71 nations. There are 70 and Yisrael. They shall not be counted amongst the midst the other nations. And Om Levodad Yishkeim, they dwell alone. They separate themselves from the other nations. Vuvagoyim leis chashov. And never shall they be counted amongst the nations. This Bilam saw, when he saw the greatness and the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Now, in reality, this principle, to a degree, is a principle which is true by all nations. Because all nations have their own individual aspects. The Almighty created 70 basic nations. And these were all offsprings of Noah. Noah gave birth to three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes, after the flood. And each son gave birth to others. And each one was different from the other one. And he went out and he fathered a nation. And this is how the 70 nations came into being. And the Chazal tell us that the 70 nations each have their own language. Just like there are 70 nations, there are 70 lashonis, 70 basic languages. All languages in the world today derive themselves from that source. And every nation was given its own land. Those days, Shem, Chom, and Yefes, they determine who should live where. And as we see, there are ancient nations that are still residing in their ancient land. In each nation was given a language. Sages tell us language is the expression of the nefesh, of the spirit. Just like the spirit of each nation is different, so is the language, therefore, of each nation different. In each land was attuned to the nature of that nation. And each nation developed his own ways, his own customs, his own culture, individual backgrounds and cultures. All of the nations of the world are equal in the aspect that they are all commanded in the seven mitzvahs. This was given to Noah and his sons, and therefore to all of the nations of the world. The seven mitzvahs: you shall not serve idolatry, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery or incest, and so forth. You must maintain law and order. This all of the people were commanded in. So there is no difference between one nation and the other in regards to this. But beyond these seven mitzvahs, and anything above and beyond these seven mitzvahs, then this was a distinction between all nations, each and every one of them. And therefore the nations look differently, and they live in different lands, and they speak differently, and they have different cultures and backgrounds. The morale brings in a place. He says, we find that similarities attract to each other. You find by nature a person is attracted, he feels at home with someone who's similar to him. He says, that's why you find that the B'nai Ummah Achas gravitate to each other. People of the same nation gravitate to each other. Majority of people live together with their own nations. And you write, you find that every nation, generally as a rule, will have a greater love for his own land and a greater pleasure from his own land than from a different land. Because the land was attuned to his nature, to his needs. Portuguese love Portugal. The Greeks love Greece. Chinese, they love China. So in reality, this principle that we're saying, that there's distinctions, this is a principle that applies to all people of the world. Unfortunately, even tragically, the West of today refuses to recognize this factor. And this ideology is given momentum by the so-called modern liberals. Today we hear of people should be alike, common class, common identity, common cultures, melting pots. Where you take people of 100 different nations and you put them through a melting pot like you put steel to make them all into one. This is the fruits of the Great West. And the modern liberals, they feel that this is the best thing. Why should there be differences? Why should people be different from each other? Why should there be separations? Better that if there's one common culture and one common identity and total assimilation and total melting pots. The truth is that as we can see that history has testified from the beginning of history, the world was not made that way. The world was made with different peoples, different nations, and different languages, and different lands. And not only it was not meant to be that way, but great tragedy is created through this. Because each nation has its source, has its roots. And when you uproot a person and you cut off his source, and you try to make something else out of him, he finds himself in a situation where he's already left and lost his original source and has not yet become part and parcel of the new nation. And this creates a tremendous erbuvia. This creates a tremendous mixture, a tremendous confusion, a tremendous upheaval. And there is no doubt that a great amount of the social and moral disorders that is found today in the modern world come from this. Fact is, sociologists write that Japan is facing a social and moral crisis, cultural crisis that it never faced before, because of the great mixture of the West and the East. Today, Japan is a business center of the world. It's attracted the West. The West has come there, not just with their money, but with their culture. The Japanese Jews are being attracted to it. And there are many, many problems now. Japan's sociologists write that they never knew of before because of this. This is something that we should understand and recognize. Even though listening to the propaganda machines, we're being told that this is not so. I remember once hearing an interview with the late Meisher Dayan. It was after the Six-Day War. And Israel had captured great amounts of territory in Sinai, Jordan, and so forth. And with it came great numbers of Arabs. And he was facing some American newsmen. And they asked him, are you going to give citizenship rights to all of these Arabs? And he said, absolutely not. And they said, why not? He said, because then there will be a majority. She says, well, don't you believe in democracy? Don't you believe in majority rule? He said, absolutely not. They looked at him stunned. He said, Israel's a Jewish land. He says, the Frenchmen want France to be a French land. Chinese want China to be a Chinese land. They have a right to it. We have a right that Israel should be a Jewish land. They need citizenship rights. They'll vote us out. No longer will it be a Jewish land. This concept he understood. There was an article not long ago in the Reader's Digest, July 1986. The doctors today are discovering, this is something that was known was known to the Gemara all the time, but I think people always knew it, but they could not clinically prove it. But now they're clinically proving that many serious heart attacks, especially sudden death heart attacks, are caused by emotional upheavals rather than physical, and they're coming to be able to clinically link emotional stress with physical reactions. So, as they write here some of the things that they have put together, they write, a study comparing two groups of Japanese-American men in California showed that the single greatest risk factor for coronary heart disease, more important than serum cholesterol, diet, blood pressure, or smoking, was abandonment of the comforting, stable web of social and family ties of traditional Japanese culture. We found out that Japanese who are uprooted from their own land and culture and transplanted in California and put through the pressure of a melting pot, all of a sudden have a tremendously higher risk factor for coronary heart disease than those that they left behind. Research on Italian Americans in Pennsylvania pointed to much the same conclusion. They found out that Italians, they were uprooted from Italy and transplanted in Pennsylvania and tried to be made Americans of, had a tremendously higher rate of coronary heart disease. Other surveys have found that isolation by itself may triple the risk of coronary death. Actually, you go into a shop, an Indian shop, when you speak to an Indian and you see the way he talks to you, he or she will talk to you, then watch when another Indian will come in, and you'll see that they'll converse in a totally different manner. Different relaxation, different being at home. The same thing if you go into a Portuguese shop or a Greek shop. I'll go into a Portuguese shop and ask him to talk about Portugal, or a Greek shop and ask him about Greece. And you see all of a sudden his blood pressure goes down. Totally relaxed, totally at home. Because people, the Torah says that a person is ke'etzasode. He's like a tree of the field. Trees cannot grow all over. They have their places according to their own nature where they grow the best. And when they're uprooted and transplanted other places, not all the time is it successful. Now this great liberal movement that we've seen in the last 20, 30 years, that beats the drums with us. In general, they are so confused, I don't know if they know their right hand from their left hand, because they're trying to impose Western culture in the East, and they're trying at the same time now to impose Eastern culture in the West. Because now they're telling all of the great attributes of Eastern meditation, yoga, and so forth. But today in America and in Europe, sociologists tell us the youth are lost. One of the most common terms that we find today is roots. People are searching for their roots. Identity, people want identity. Individualism, they want to be individuals, they don't want to be a number. It is this ideology that destroyed the roots. Why are they being attracted now, all of a sudden, to Eastern culture? When the pendulum was that everyone was attracted to the West, because the West has destroyed their roots, destroyed their individuality, destroyed their identity. And they see in the East, there are still roots left. But that's not their roots. So it's created a tremendous havoc. In reality, liberals think that this is a academic achievement of modern world to take many people and make them into one. It doesn't come from there. It does not come from there. You know when this started? This started years and years ago by the great emperors of the world. When emperors went to conquer the lands that were not theirs, and they found that all of a sudden they ruled not just many people, but they ruled many different nations, they were faced with a very serious problem. What's going to stop these people from rebelling? What will stop these people from rebelling and breaking this empire? So the solution was, destroy the differences. Destroy the many nations. Make them into one nation. A nation will not rebel against itself. This we find in the time of the Greek Empire. Megillas Hanukkah tells us that when the Greek Empire came into Eretz Yisrael and they couldn't tolerate Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't tolerate the Jews, because all of the nations of the world were submitting to the Greek culture and the Jews were not. And they came to Matishohu and they said, why can't we all be one nation? Why can't we all speak one language? Why can't we all be of one culture? There they're bringing the melting pot ideology, except they had a reason for it. And this we find
in Purim. What did Haman come and tell Achashverosh? He says, Yesh noy am echod nefuzar umefeired beino amim. There's a nation in your empire that is different. All of the nations in your empire have agreed to be one nation and one culture. And there's a nation in your empire which is different. You must stamp out that difference because they will rebel. In the Roman Empire, all the time the Gemara brings that the Romans kept saying that every little thing, Mer Dubloi a Yehudi, the Jews are rebelling, the Jews are rebelling, and they used to send out to all of their far-reaching lands to obligate everyone to serve the same gods and to speak the same way. Because as long as they're different nations, so they might break away, they might rebel. This happened with the English Empire. The English Empire went and conquered so many lands in the world, in the east and in the west. They didn't merely hold on to these lands, but they introduced English culture in these lands. They introduced English culture and English identity as much as possible in these lands to break down the walls of differences. Because as long as they were a different people, they could break away and rebel. But one nation cannot rebel against itself. And this is happening today too. This is exactly the policy of Russia. Russia will not tolerate any differences, any dissent, any divergences in their own land. For this reason, because this makes possible a revolution. So, don't accept that this is modern thought. It's old-fashioned thought from the dictators of the world, from the monarchs of the world, in order to capture other lands. But this is not the nature of the world. Now, if this is so by all peoples and by all lands to a degree, then how much more so is this by Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael is not only a different people, not only a different language. Klal Yisrael was given a totally different spirit. They were given 613 mitzvahs. All of the other nations are equal in their mitzvahs. But Israel were given 613 different mitzvahs. Their language is a Loshon HaKodesh. Their land is Eretz HaKedosha. And therefore, how much more so is it imperative, vital for Klal Yisrael to maintain this distinction, to maintain this difference, to maintain this separation? Because if not, then we become bottled. We disappear. You must remember that ki atem hamat minagoi, you are the smallest of all of the nations. We are the minority of all of the nations. The minority usually disappears in the majority. And the truth of the matter is, destroy us physically or spiritually to assimilate us. But Israel is still here. Even though against mighty empires, Greeks, Romans, Babylonians, And even though you are Hamat, the smallest of all of the nations, and the minority of all of the nations, this is because Israel has constantly fought to maintain its individuality and its distinction. Now, even though we are commanded by the Torah to maintain the best of relationships with all of our neighboring nations, to maintain peace with all of the nations around us, to do chasodim, to deal kindly with all of the peoples of the world, and the righteous nations of the world, we are obligated to go out of our way to do good for them, to allow them to become citizens in Eretz Israel. Because the righteous nations of the world, the Gemara says, they have a portion in the world to come. So this is not contradictory to what we're speaking about. Obligated to be kind to them, to good to them. But at the same time, we are obligated not to disappear amongst them, not to merge with them to the point where we lose our own identity. And to the contrary, we are commanded to retain this individual identity of ours in order to be a light for the nations. We were given 613 mitzvahs for a reason, in order that we will be an aura, a light for all of the nations, and lead them out of the darkness of the world. Klal Yisrael will be a model. Not to the contrary, where we will disappear in the darkness also. We were commanded that Eretz Yisrael must be different than all other lands. Not like there are some who feel that Eretz Yisrael should be the same as every other land. There's a France, there's a Denmark, there's an England, there's a USA, there's an Eretz Yisrael. There's a Paris, there's a London, there's a Yerushalayim. It's Eretz HaKadosha. Eretz Yisrael must be distinguished from all other lands in order that it shall be a light to the nations of the world. And not, heaven forbid, that it disappears in the other lands of the world. This problem, which has been a problem in the Golos all of the time, to different degrees though. But today in modern times, it's a very serious problem in Klal Yisrael. The problem of the disappearing Jew, of the assimilated Jew, the problem of Jewish values that no longer are Jewish, Torah values that are no longer Torah. And there are so many of our own Jews that run to the nations to become assimilated, to become influenced. This problem is a much greater problem outside of South Africa than in South Africa. South Africans don't necessarily realize this, but those who've lived in other places realize it. Assimilation, the purity of Jewish thought, Jewish identity, is much stronger in South Africa than other places for several reasons. One reason is because Jews here come from very, very great Torah stock. So it's not so easy that this Torah background that they come from should be lost, chas v'shalom. But there's another reason also, and that is that South Africa has a great respect for separate cultures, which you don't find in other lands. In many lands in Europe, in England, in America, there is tremendous, tremendous pressure of the melting pot for the Jew to be like everyone else. There is no respect for separate cultures. There is no respect for individuality. But kulanu yeah mechod, we all must be the same. People despise and they reject differences. The nature of this land is not like that. They encourage individual development, individual cultures. And this has been a great boom, tremendous boom for the Jew, where he can act like a Jew and live like a Jew. And not only no one bothers him, but it's respected. This is a tremendous boom, and people should realize it. And it's probably one of the few places, if not the only, in the entire world where this exists. And because of that, the Jewishness is much more natural here than in other places in the world. Other places in the world, the assimilation is much greater, the disappearance is much greater, the watered-down values are much greater. And when you do find Jews, you find them either very defensive, because there's so much, because they're retreating from all of the pressure, or you find them very offensive, because they're coming out to fight against the pressure. But you don't find a natural Jewishness. But this you find here. So those here living in South Africa have this great element which assists them. Chag HaPesach is the Chag HaGeulah. It is the Yom Tov of redemption. Redemption means to be meshuchror u'mufrod, min sharo umes. Redemption means to become free, to free oneself, to liberate oneself from the physical, from the psychological, from the mental, and from the spiritual influences of the nations of the world. This is what redemption means, geula. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a goy mitachas goy, one nation from beneath the other. Redemption on Pesach was that Klal Yisrael became free from the tremendous shibud, tremendous influences, forced physical influences, mental influences, emotional and spiritual influences on Yisrael. And the geula was is that they became separated from this, they became liberated from this. And then, and only then, they were able to come to Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodah vele avodim la avodim, I cannot give Torah to slaves. I cannot give Torah to servants of others. They must be liberated from others and be my servants. And only then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, V'lokachti lochem lili om, that I am taking you, I can take you for myself as a nation. And the greatness the greatness of the door of Mitzrayim, the generation of Egypt, is that they withstood all of these influences in order that their identity would never become lost, they would remain separate. Shalashinu Eshmom. Shalashinu Eslishonam. Their individual names remain the same. Their national language remained the same. Shleyaprutzi Marayas. They did not physically mix with Egypt. Vishalay Hilshin al Havere, they did not reveal the secrets of the nation to another. This was the greatness of the generation of Egypt. And this is the source, for the individuality of Klal Yisrael. Because they guarded this individuality, they guarded their roots. Then they gave it to the rest, to us. And this Bilam saw. You know, if you ask a person, what's more important, to know where you came from or to know where you're going? He'll immediately tell you to know where you're going. What's the difference where you came from? You have to know where you're going. And everybody's concerned where they're going, especially here in South Africa. The truth of the matter is, there could not be a more stupid statement. You met a person driving along the road, and you ask him where he's going, he tells you, I haven't made up my mind yet where I'm going. So you think nothing of it. If you ask him where he's come from, and he says, I don't know, you point to the nearest mental hospital, and you tell him to get there quick. Modern thought is that a person must know where he's going. Where he came from, this makes no difference. It's not true. If a person knows where he came from, then he can direct himself to as to where to go. If he doesn't know where he comes from, then like in Yiddish, you say, as can mention it. As Nick can mention, he's not a person, so what's the difference where he's going? When Bilam saw Klal Yisrael, he saw their source. He first said, Ki mireish surim er eno. I see them coming from the rocks. It's Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. Then he said, Umigvos ashurenu. I see them coming from Sora Rivka Roch and Leah. Then he said, what they'll be. Ken am levado yiskon. They will be a nation that will dwell alone. Ube amin le yischashov, and they will not be accounted amongst the other nations. Bilam was wise. He was wicked, but everybody agrees he was a wise person. He didn't look to see where they're going. He looked to see where they're coming from, where's their source. And when he realized what their source was, then he said, I'll tell you where they're going. They come from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. They come from Sora, Rivka, Roch, and Leah. They come from good stock. They have an identity like no identity in the world. They have an individualism like no individualism in the world. Not only are they different in body, but they're different in soul. Every nation was given 7 mitzvahs, they were given 613. Not only were they given another land, they were given Arzeinu HaKdosha, they were given a sanctified land. They are different. Their source is totally different. So they will always be different. That's where they're going. And Am Levado Yishkon, they will always dwell alone.
Uba'amim lo yishkashov. There will not be 71 nations. There will be 70 nations in Israel. Because if they dwell with the nations, then this individuality will be lost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not separate them to become lost. He separated them to become an or olam, a light for the world. And this is what we say constantly, Atolech Atonu mikol ha'amim. You separated us, you chose us from all of the nations, not that we should come become lost to them. To them. Or Hamavdil Bein Kodesh Lechol Bein Or Lechoshech Bein Yisrael Amin, just like you have separated between day and night, between light and darkness, you have separated us from the other nations. This is what a Jew must constantly work on. To be an individual. To be pure, where his mind and his heart and his thoughts and his values are not influenced by the values of the world. Rather, they're the values of Torah, and he should influence the world. And the source of this is the Chag HaGeula, the Chag HaPesach. Jewish youth do not have to go to China to look for roots. Or they don't have to go to Los Angeles to find identity. Or Japan or Sweden to find individuality. Because we're a nation that are obligated to look at our roots much more than to look at our future. To look where we came from, rather than to look where we're going. We came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and we came from Mitzrayim. And this is why it's brought, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, Asher Hotzeicho Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, that has taken you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. It's brought that this is the source of all of the mitzvahs. This is what has made us into individuals. And we must guard this. We should all be zeicher.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.